I got to get to Colonel Jeff McCausland, who has lived it, walked it, seen it, breathed it. Military, right there, National Security Council, with men making decisions involving thousands and thousands of lives. And here we are again in Ukraine at the precipice, some people say. Good morning, Colonel. How are you?
Marty, I'm doing well, and you sound great.
Thank you, man. See, somebody gives a damn. Hey, I'm fascinated by the marketing of war on both sides. The Russians who market this, they're victims now somehow, which slays me, as the kids say. But they intimate this. It's hovering over us. Hey, you know we could use nukes. Should we take this seriously, sir, or blow it off, as the kids say?
No, we should absolutely take it seriously. There's no doubt about it. When you are in a confrontation, as we are, with a country that has perhaps more nuclear weapons than any country on the planet, tied with us by this New START treaty in terms of the number of strategic weapons, but the Russians also maintain a substantial tactical nuclear stockpile. And I can tell you, in their military doctrine, they talk about using such weapons, particularly in the defense of the homeland. So when Lavrov says that's a possibility, you cannot ignore that. In many ways, I would argue, Marty, we are in perhaps the greatest potential nuclear confrontation this country has experienced since the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Whoa.
And the administration, I think, is trying to do a kind of a tightrope walk between maintaining a maximum support for Ukraine while at the same time not trying to push this over in terms of escalation to get in that kind of a confrontation.
But Colonel, you got to get into the mind of a madman. And I always tell my wife this. We're talking about people who are just whacked out. I say, honey, you can't understand the mind of a madman. So these people, the way they think, the Russians, the military, the way they're treating women and children, they don't give a damn, sir. So you can't rationalize that kind of lunacy, can you? And you can't figure that out. So it really is kind of a gamble, is it not, sir?
Very much so. I mean, you could argue in many ways it's a greater gamble than we faced back in 1962. Nikita Khrushchev was the head of the Soviet Union, but he was sort of the chairman of the board. He had to report to a Politburo, so he was not an absolute sole unitary actor. Vladimir Putin, after 22 years in charge of the Russian Federation, is a much more unitary actor, a lot more isolated from his own advisors. Even prior to this war, it's unknown, really, what are the voices that he hears on a regular basis. So one of the problems you therefore have is all your analysis on nuclear deterrence and nuclear threats and the like makes a baseline assumption that both sides are operating rationally. And as you point out, that's not necessarily so. That being said, I think the Russians fully understand, and Lavrov said this because in his initial remarks he said, you know, nuclear war should never be fought, that the scale of this could be to a point where it would be very difficult, if we went that way, to ascertain the winners from the losers.
Yeah. Hey, Colonel, you know, so let's say a kid's bullying my son, and I pay another kid to beat up that kid. In essence, I beat up the kid. And so the Russians, in their marketing plan here again, say, this is a proxy war, man. You and the other European countries, you've thrown $6 billion at this. You're paying for this war. This is, by definition, a proxy war. You ain't fighting it with fists and boots on the ground, but you're sure as hell fighting it. Is that accurate, sir?
That's fair. I mean, as they said from the very onset, and the way it's marketed, if you want to call it that, in Russia, is this is a war between Russia and the West. They talk about the West, whereas too many people, I think, here in the United States fail to realize that, and we think of this as a war between Ukraine and Russia. But it's a different perspective altogether. And we've seen an evolution, I think, in the thinking in Washington. I mean, even in the last couple of days, you've had Secretary of Defense Austin, Secretary of State Blinken out in Kyiv. And Austin, in his remarks, said, you know, one of our goals is to weaken Russia to the point that they were not able to threaten their neighbors in future, which seems like a logical thing to do. But the Russians, trust me, will grab hold of that and use that as further evidence to their population.
Absolutely.
Really, the West is out to destroy it.
Absolutely.
We've now created this group of 40 countries, the Ukrainian Defensive Consultative Group, that's going to meet monthly of all the allied states to coordinate our efforts to supply and support Ukraine. Well, that's back to your bully. That's like you got, you know, 40 benefactors trying to figure out how to pay this guy off to go beat up the bully.
That's right.
And the Russians will Well, that's very valuable and very necessary, and I think sends all the right messages, not only to the Ukrainians, to the Russians. We have to understand there's a cost, and that cost is they will use that for their propaganda purposes.
So Colonel, you lay in bed at night. You really have angst about the possibility, as you said, for nuclear war. This concerns you more than any time, you're saying, since the Cuban Missile Crisis, sir.
Yeah, it's two times in my life when I can remember, when I was a young boy, I can remember the Cuban Missile Crisis and how desperately worried people were at that time. The second time was 1973 for a short period of time during the Yom Kippur War and also in the middle of Watergate. The United States went on DEFCON 3. I was a young lieutenant sitting on the East German border, so I was a little concerned about what was going on. That passed pretty quickly. But I have to say, this is without a doubt the period of time in my life when I'm most concerned about some kind of a mistake being made. And it would not have to be deliberate. I mean, nope. You could have an errant airplane fly across the border and get shot down. You could have a missile go off and strike a NATO territory. You could have two ships at sea bump into each other. There's a whole bunch of different things that could go wrong, and all of a sudden, there you are escalating and you're at a confrontation.
Colonel, appreciate you. No one better. Thank you, sir.
Marty, take care.
It's hard to hear, though, isn't it?